my friends, and welcome to episode 11 of the School of Self-Improvement podcast. I am your wonderful host, Christina. And while weight loss is my mission in life, it's not my only passion. I want to help people everywhere achieve their goals, not only in weight loss and health, but in life in general. So the topics of this podcast will not be just weight loss. I want to approach weight loss holistically, because you know that saying, wherever you go, there you are. And this is a huge piece of the puzzle when in weight loss journeys, and it's often missing. If you think you will be happy when you get to your goal weight, think again. You will be exactly the same person you are today. So why not get there now? Be happy, contented, and fulfilled, so that when you do get to your goal weight, or whatever the goal is that you have in mind, you're going to be a much happier, much more content person when you get there. Today's episode is called 12 Ways to Look After Yourself, and I am going to take you through my top 12 ways that you can take care of yourself that have nothing to do with weight loss, nothing to do with exercise, but we will talk a little bit about movement, but that's something completely different. So let's start with number one, get enough sleep. I cannot emphasize this enough, and I know it's really easy for me to say, make sure you get enough sleep. Really, what that should be is get enough quality sleep, right? Because some of us are able to function perfectly fine on 4 hours, others need 8. I know I definitely need 7-8 hours a night. I actually start to feel really unwell if I don't sleep enough. And it's kind of like almost a hangover kind of feeling, brain fog, but my body starts to feel like it has the flu. Like, I don't feel aches and pains and shivers or anything like that, but my body just feels wrong. I really struggle to put it into words to articulate what it feels like, but it feels like my body is unwell. So red eye flights, for example, kill me. It takes me 2 to 3 days to get over a red eye flight because I cannot sleep on airplanes. So I need to make sure that I have got enough space when I come home to be able to get over it. And it's not just the jet lag, it's the actual non-sleeping during the flight that causes me the biggest issues. So there are a ton of things you can do to try and improve your sleep. And if you've had issues with sleep, you've probably tried them all. But there is a huge amount of resources out there to help you. So if you haven't been getting enough sleep, go to bed earlier, switch off your screens a couple of hours before you go to bed, dim the lights in the evening, and really try your best to improve your sleep. Number two, be kind to yourself. This is especially for women. We give ourselves such a hard time. We are so hypercritical of ourselves. And you know, it's funny, I was just talking today with my photographer who works for me sometimes. She's also a really good friend. And we met for a coffee this morning, and she was saying to me that she has worked with some of the most beautiful women throughout her line of work. And they tended to be the most self-conscious, the most self-critical. And that really surprised her, that the more beautiful the person physically, the worse the self-esteem was. So I want you to be kind to yourself, because we've been fed a whole bunch of lies about what success should look like, how we should look, how we should sound, how our hair should be, what our hair color should be, how fat we should be, how thin we should be, how tall we should be, how short we should be. And the fact is that if you try to be everything, it would be absolutely impossible. So find the things that you love about yourself and the things that you don't like so much about yourself. Be kind and treat yourself with kindness, and you'll see that there'll be more room to find things that you like about yourself. Number three, practice positive affirmations. Now, I am not talking about the toxic positivity, just feel better, think yourself happier, that kind of thing. I am all about affirming positive thoughts, right? So when you think something positive about yourself, oh, I did really good just then. Say, yes, I really did well. I did this, I did this, I did this, and I was this, and I was this, and I did really well, and I'm really proud of myself. Well done. Self-pat on the back. So take that positive thought you have about yourself and run with it. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. And keep repeating it to yourself. Oh, yesterday I did that thing and I was really great at it. Isn't that amazing? And the more positive thoughts you have about yourself, the more positive thoughts you'll have about yourself. Where energy goes, energy flows. So the more positivity you have about yourself, the more ways you will find to be positive about yourself. Number four, do things that make you happy. And I'm not talking about, you know, selfishly making yourself happy at the sacrifice of anybody else. I'm talking about do things that make you smile. Do things that make your heart grow big. And if that means, you know, going volunteering at an animal shelter where you can play with the puppies, go do it. Make some time to do it. Do things that raise your vibration, your energy up out of the shoes on your feet. Bring it up. Because the higher your energy, the more positive it is. And again, if we go back to number three, we have to look for the positive and reaffirm the positive over and over and over again to make sure that we keep the positive to the front of our mind. So do things that help you raise your energy, make you feel good, make you feel accomplished, and repeat, repeat, repeat. Number five, don't try to please everyone. No thank you is a perfectly acceptable thing to say. Would you like to come and do this? No thanks, that doesn't work for me. Or no thank you, that time doesn't work for me. Or no thank you, I don't think that that's for me. It's okay to say no. No is a complete sentence. Does that work for you? No, it doesn't work for me. And you don't have to be rude about it. Like, you know, I'm always saying this. You don't have to be rude when you establish your boundaries or when you reinforce a boundary. But it's okay to say no if you are asked to do something. And honestly, it feels like your worst nightmare. It feels like you are heading to the guillotine. It gives you a pit in your stomach. Then say no. Don't try to please everyone, because it's absolutely impossible. And if you are trying to please somebody at the expense and the sacrifice of your own happiness, then it's only going to make you feel worse. Number six, work smarter, not harder. This is especially for the peeps out there who are running their own businesses. I mean, I am deep in the trenches of my own business, so I know this one really, really well. I could easily work 80 hours a week. Easily. I would never run out of things to do if I was working 80 hours a week. But that doesn't necessarily mean that those 80 hours a week would be effective. They wouldn't. If you go back to number one, the whole sleep thing, I wouldn't be able to function on that little sleep. I wouldn't be effective. I would probably make mistakes. Emails would get lost. Videos not uploaded. Podcast episodes lost into the ether of the technology that it sits on, because it's not effective. So working smarter, not harder, is something that we all have to learn. When I was in the corporate world, I had a set of tasks to do, and I used to be able to do them in probably about 3 hours. So I would get stuck in first thing in the morning, and by 11 a.m. I was basically finished my tasks for the day, and I could have the rest of the day free to do extra things, like I take on extra projects, do some research, maybe learn something new. But I had that time and that flexibility then to be able to use it the way I wanted. Often I would do an extra course learning about something, and even if I didn't take that extra step and I just had that time spare, I would have used it wisely, maybe to do some nice affirmations, maybe go for a walk, maybe do something that helps with maybe stress management, anything like that. But by working smarter, not harder, I was able to really utilize the time that I had free. Number seven, and this one is just that it is what it is and it is what it means to you. So eat well and drink lots of water. Don't forget to eat plenty of protein in order to keep you very, very healthy. And if you want to know more how to do that, you can join my Protein Priority Diet program for Protein Priority Weight Loss. Shameless plug. Drinking lots of water is a difficult one, because you can get habitually used to being kind of borderline dehydrated. If you haven't been used to drinking plenty of water, you can go without. If you get thirsty, you are already dehydrated. So drink plenty of water. It's really good for your skin. It's really good for your circulation, and it keeps you healthy. Do some stress management activities like journaling, meditation, or exercise. And by exercise, please don't get on the treadmill and pound away for 45 minutes because it is counterproductive. You want to do some nice gentle exercise like yoga, swimming, or something like that. But now, if doing Ironman or triathlons is a stress relieving technique for you, then by all means go do it. I would rather peel my face off and wash with lemon juice than attempt something like that. But I choose to do things like yoga or going for a nice walk. And it's not really what we would understand exercise to be. It's basically movement. I have bought myself an adapter for my desk that makes it a sit-stand desk, which I think is really great because it tells me every 45 minutes, okay, stand for 15 minutes, stand for 20 minutes, and then you sit down again. But during those 15, 20 minutes, I put on some music and I kind of dance around in front of my laptop as I'm working away. And it's a good way to incorporate that movement into your day. Try some journaling. I love journaling. I love sitting down, opening a notebook, grabbing a pen and just letting it all flow out. It's like mental vomit. It just comes out and then you feel lighter. Like when you get it out of your head and onto a piece of paper, it doesn't matter if you never look at that piece of paper again. The fact that you have got it out of your head and onto the paper makes such a huge difference. Number 9, let go of what you cannot control. I've talked about this before, that control is particularly applicable to me. And I've always said that, you know, I used to be a nervous flyer, and I would have felt perfectly fine if I was allowed to bring a parachute on board. And that's because it gave me some semblance of control, or at least the thought that I am in control. But things that we cannot control, like how people react to something or how people behave, it's not our responsibility and we shouldn't be controlling it. We cannot control what people want to do. We cannot control what people want to say. So we need to let go of those things. It's not our fault if somebody behaves in a way that is not good or it makes other people unhappy. That's not our responsibility and it's certainly not under our control. So find those things that you believe you should control and really ask yourself, is this something that I can let go of? Number 10, setting boundaries with toxic people. I am a huge believer in this and I even teach it in my program, Emotional Eating Solution. Boundaries are essential. And if you didn't learn boundaries as a child, then you might have a lot of difficulty with this. Saying no is a huge boundary and a lot of people have difficulty with it. And like I said, when you want to say no to something, you don't have to be rude about it. You can just say, no, thank you. And you don't have to give any explanations. If there is an awkward silence or somebody says something like, oh yeah, come on, you know, you want to go. You want to go. You think, no, thank you. Like I said, that's not for me, or I don't want to do it, or I don't want to go, or, you know, I said no, thank you very much. Let's leave it at that. And if they continue to insist, then, you know, you can say, look, I know you're not meaning to be rude, but I'm really uncomfortable with your insistence. I said no, so please respect my boundary. Now, this is probably, the thought of this probably has your knees knocking, especially if you are not used to keeping your boundaries firmly in place. It just takes practice, but once you do it, you will be so liberated and so glad that you practiced it. Number 11, learn to live in the present moment. When you live in the future, you live in anxiety. When you live in the past, you live in depression. Now, I can't remember where I read that and I cannot credit whoever said it because I cannot remember. But I thought it was like pretty mind-blowing. It's just like, yeah, it's so right. You know, if you're hooked on the past and revisiting things that happened and mourning for something that happened and wishing things were different, then it's a really, really low energy. But if you are worrying about the future, constantly thinking about what's coming, trying to be prepared for all outcomes, it's a really high energy, anxious state, and an uncomfortably high energy state. And I just think that it's so pertinent to think about, am I thinking about the past? Am I worrying about the future? And what can I concentrate on right now, where I am, where my butt is on the seat right at this minute, whether I'm driving, whether you're in the office, maybe you're out for a walk, whatever you're doing. Look around you. What is wonderful? What is beautiful? What is joyful? What's making you smile? What can you enjoy in your surroundings? And really take the time every day to do this to help you live in the present moment. And last but not least, number 12, avoid unnecessary drama and gossip. Now that word unnecessary is really important there, because sometimes a little bit of drama is necessary. And as social creatures, as humans, we like to gossip. We like to hear about what's going wrong in other people's lives to make us feel a little bit better about ourselves. As long as you are not being deliberately mean, or you are being really nasty about somebody or to somebody, I don't see the harm in a little bit of gossip now and again. It keeps us connected socially, and it's a bonding technique. Sharing gossip is how we socially bond with others. So, you know, things that people are willing to share and are sharing publicly, like if you think of the Real Housewives franchise, for example, that is all drama and gossip. Some of it is quite toxic, and I know that I have let go of certain franchises because of the toxicity of it, but a little bit of gossip goes a long way in terms of socially bonding with friends. But the unnecessary drama, when people are behaving in a way that makes you uncomfortable and makes you unhappy, you just got to avoid it. Life will be happier if you can avoid all of the unnecessary drama. So that's it for this week's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Maybe in the comments you can tell me what ways you like to look after yourself. And if you are already commenting, make sure you leave a review, because it will really help the podcast get out there in front of more people. Thank you very much for joining me, and I'll see you next week.